We talked a little bit about calling good evil and evil good. Suffering is bad, health is good, etc., etc. And so the God who presides over all of this must therefore be excused from anything that we think is evil. I'm talking about we, meaning the modern world. And we see this in, I remember that when someone was, it would have been Burnett's granddaughter died.
Grandson.
Huh?
Megan's.
Okay. And Doug gave he was presiding, and I was told that he said that this had to be the devil because God wouldn't permit this, and that kind of thinking permeates the modern church. And I want to read a quote from Plato that. And again, this is all part of this theology of glory. And a God, according to Plato, is not the cause of all things, but only what we might call good. This, in reality, puts them in the place of God. They cannot understand how God could be involved in the cross, really. So here's the quote. Then God, if he be good, is not the author of all things, as the many assert. But he is the cause of a few things only, and not of most things that occur to men. For few are the good things of human life, and many are the evil. And the good is to be attributed to God alone. And of the rest, the causes are to be sought elsewhere and not in him. And so we end up in this alleged warfare between God and Satan. And it's just part of this theology of glory instead of the theology of the cross. We talked about yesterday that when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For us, then, to have reached that point of our death, that alone is what we also must cry, God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's no answer except the resurrection. And until we know that we died and he lives, we're still involved in the theology of glory instead of the theology of the cross. And so, but just consider how much this has permeated the modern church and permeated our thinking. The Greek philosophers, in many ways, influenced the church almost more than, maybe even more than Jesus did. Does anybody understand or agree with that, or what? Anybody have any response to it?
I understand that it permeates the church. I didn't realize that it was a responsibility of Greek philosophers. I think it's pretty much a human.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is the Greek philosophers are the first ones that really, as I understand it, that permeated that philosophy.
Yeah. I was thinking about when you started it, the essential gospel is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that hope of glory is where the split in the road takes place. Those who don't want to pick up the cross would take one path, those who see and are willing to pick another. And the one denies suffering and pain. It's like Jesus already completed all that, so we're not responsible for anything. It's done. The others realize that that this same process takes place in us as children, growing into that knowledge.
Let's go to Romans 5 a minute.
This notion of good versus evil and evil versus good, in my mind, my understanding is akin to the scripture that when the appearing at your death and Christ said, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." There's a correlation there in my mind about the notion of what those people thought was right and obviously what it meant. That's the notion that comes into mind, which is just going to talk about and calling good evil and evil.
Yeah, that's the preultimate one, the penultimate one. I mean, when Peter, when he was, Jesus said that he must go and suffer and die on the cross.
What appears to be good, we twist to our advantage, and it immediately becomes evil.
Yeah.
Immediately become what?
Immediately becomes evil. What is
polluted.
Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So the theology of glory leaves out. They don't glory in tribulation. They glory in what they think is good. But we glory in tribulation.
Yeah.
Why? It took me really much suffering before I fully understood that scripture. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience is probably a weak word for that, but it means steadfast endurance, unwavering. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And the word experience is, again, better translated as tested integrity. And experience hope. The hope only in the resurrection. So the whole mystery, as you said earlier, Pete said earlier, that the nature of man is to attribute good to God if he believes in God and bad somewhere else. There's probably many, many others somewhere in the writings of ancient times that said it was besides the Greeks, but the Greeks are the ones that influenced us, so... This is why the church, if you will, the religion of Egypt, was so clean. It was a clean religion. It wasn't messy. It was awe-inspiring in terms of the structures and the mysteries of the Book of the Dead, many other things. But fundamentally, it was clean. That's why I used to kid Harry, because Harry wanted everything neat and clean. I guess I've taken up his mantle, but shut up, Peter.
Yeah.
but we all desire a Greek religion, I mean a clean religion. We want it to be orderly. We want people to behave. What?
We did.
Or the subtext is that people want me to behave.
Yeah, we want everyone else to behave.
Let's go now to I forgot where it is, but let me find it. 2 Timothy, maybe.
I was thinking of this, what you just read, as that's the revelation of Christ. He did wait and was patient. And in that patience, God did things which he saw him do, which gave him experience, which increased faith and the knowledge of God, which leads right into the hope, which is kind of a hope with knowledge, not a hope.
Yeah, but it's the hope of the resurrection. That's what trumps everything.
Is that what it says?
Hmm?
Is that what it says?
No, but that's the only time way hope is used in the New Testament, is the resurrection. The resurrection is what trumps death. The resurrection is what trumps suffering. The resurrection is what trumps everything. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now we can't see the resurrection. So here we go. This is what Paul said. Verse 16. Chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And you got to hear this. And we are, as he is in the world, so are we. He was manifest in the flesh, but he was never justified in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. That's why the scripture that says, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. Christ was not justified in the flesh in any way.
Which means all the works he did didn't qualify him for heaven.
Didn't reveal a mystery.
Pardon me?
Didn't reveal the mystery.
The works he did?
Right. He had the one only reason he did the works was to know that he had the power to do them. Because he had to be tested along the lines of what he contained. That's what only thing that temptation is. You never test him. I've said many times, I'm never tempted or tested to give up being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But he was tested about having all power in time and space and not using it. But he had to use it a little bit in order to know that he had it. This is Miggy.
So then,
you only test it along the lines of something you possess. And you're tested by giving it up, not using it for God.
So then what does it mean to be justified in spirit?
The resurrection. The resurrection is spirit.
He was justified by God, not by what he did.
Well, he was justified by the resurrection. That's the only justification. And then after the resurrection, the ascension.
That doesn't answer the question. Just the resurrection, that just nullifies everything he did. But he completed all the works that God asked him to do.
Right. The work that God asked him to do was God so loved the bride that he gave his son. Was the bride, not fixing man's ills.
I'm just fuzzy on what, it's hard to say it this way, but what did he do to be justified by spirit?
Only resurrected.
But he didn't resurrect himself. So
That's why that was God's only, that was God's justification.
So Christ had nothing to do with it. It was all about God.
No, he had everything to do with it because he had to go down and do everything he did and give up everything. So he went into the grave for 3 days, faced the things that we can't even conceive of, which he could have, with a snap of his finger, destroyed. But he was justified only by his faith.
Or that obedience.
Obedience. Same as we. We are justified only by our faith.
So in a sense, he had everything to do with it by not doing
anything.
By not doing anything with it. Yeah.
Because this is critical in every way, because we always want to be justified by what we do.
Yeah.
That's why it says he was manifest in the flesh, but he's justified only in the spirit. And that will always be true, is because as he is in this world, so are we. And so the need to justify yourself by some completed action is the nature of the beast. But this trumps everything. Now it's only, there's never a justification for us in the flesh. Except you, everybody tries for there to be. This is big, because I promise you, you will, whatever you're doing, you will try to justify. You don't think about it this way, but you're justified by its outcome. But that's never true for the spirit. That's never true for the real you. If you're trying to get justification for yourself, you know that the evil one has resurrected himself. This is why this is so important. Am I communicating?
Try a little harder, though. This is really cool stuff.
That's why this is emphasized in this Bible, but because it's all it's indented and it's separate from the rest of that verse. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So the only glory that we can experience is suffering, tribulation. That is not what we want. That is not good news.
No, it's not.
We were talking about this last night, where all these guys who suffered, Gideon and Job and different ones that in the flesh they looked like
failures.
Yeah. But God saw all the way through, great men of faith. That alone tells you can't tell how he thinks and the manner he thinks. We try to, and we use our own judgment system to make our conclusions, but they're wrong.
Yeah, because I promise you, no matter how you say it, your mind will always need justification in the flesh.
Turned over a new leaf at my house, and I've taken on all the dirty dishes in the dishwasher. It's kind of like you cleaning up the block, I suppose. And the
lair every morning. I'm just trying to get justification.
I'm trying to get some credit.
Well, let me see. Let me add that to your list. Here, right? We
publish that
the
in our
lair, newsletter. Kitchen at home.
Closing the doors after Pete.
Oh, but then
pushing in the chairs every place that Pete sits.
Then you left the popcorn bowl out for 2 days and didn't put it up.
I put it up.
This is our relic.
Wait.
I don't know what that means.
What?
What did you say? Your mind.
Your mind always needs justification in the flesh.
Your mind always needs
justification for your actions.
In other words, it's the nature of man, the mind, it's just how we're built, you know.
That's part and parcel of the fall.
We don't have a choice here. It's not like we can do.
Yes, we do. We die.
Well.
And if we seek justification, we know.
It's a red flag.
It's the red flag. It's the cosmic tell.
From someone else or justifying it yourself or what?
It has to be, whether it's yourself or someone else, it's whatever you need, whatever that is needed for your own justification. If you're some people, you never need justification from anyone else. I mean, this is stupid. This is why I wash dishes every morning. Because it's the only thing I do that I have effort expended, and then it's justified by the results seen. Well, I don't glory. I need it though. I glory. I mean, by glory, I'd be telling everybody about it, which I just did. But anyway, but the point of it is that's each of us are built in different ways.
Yeah.
Some don't need justification from men or from, but you probably always need some justification from your wife, for your wife, even the most independent. If you're by nature kind of a rebel, then you won't need justification from others, but you need justification from yourself. I don't know how to explain this very well, but it's you got to hear this. It means, and you'll see it because it's being preached. But he was manifest in the flesh, but never justified in the flesh. As he is in the world, so are we. We can never be justified by, and yet that's always what we're trying to do. If you're late, you justify it. If you do something stupid, you justify it. If you do something good, you justify it. Because there's some justification that's manifest. And if you see what I'm saying, the excuse is justification for what wasn't manifest. So it's the same coin.
Yeah. It's like tribulation is not just physical pain. Tribulation is being denied your right to
right.
be justified.
Yeah, it's remember, it's the word is thlespis in Greek.
Yeah.
I love that word. And it's the only way I can, it's trying to squeeze this toothpaste out of a toothpaste tube, but it's going through the smallest hole the hole's all plugged up and you have to really squeeze. Well, that squeezing action is tribulation. And sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical, but it's always there until you stop glorying in anything of the flesh. It's another tell in the cosmic poker game that you can see quickly because it's about like all these things. Once you see it, then there's a recognition of it. You already knew it inside, but it manifests itself now. When it does, you will see that you're constantly trying to justify yourself.
And I find that humorous when you wake up to what you've been up to. And
well, I hope it's humorous only if you think, because you got to see it's sin. It's the evil one. But his tricks are humorous after you see through it.
Yeah. And you can laugh at yourself.
That's why the only cure for shame is being laughed at and laugh that off. No question. There's no secret path. We must rule out any esoteric thing. There's no hidden wisdom that'll get you there. The only thing that gets you there is death. I'm going to read a quote from Luther in real quick. This was written in 1518. In the kingdom of his humanity and his flesh, in the which we live by faith, he makes us of the same form as himself, and crucifies us by making us true humans instead of unhappy and proud gods. Human, that is, in their misery and their sin. Because in Adam we mounted up towards equality with God. He descended to be like us, to bring us back to knowledge of himself. That is the sacrament of the incarnation. That is the kingdom of faith, in which the cross of Christ holds sway, excuse me, which sets at naught the divinity for which we perversely strive, and restores the despised, weakened, the despised weakness of the flesh, which we have perversely abandoned. Now, what that just says the same thing I said, but he said it differently.
That?
Martin Luther. It's his the name of this writing was Work on the Psalms, and it was written in 1518. But he identified with towards the end of his life, the only time he physically saw an incarnation of Satan, and I've told you all about this. He woke up from a deep sleep, and there he saw this evil one sitting on the edge of his bed. And he said, "Oh, it's just you," and went back to sleep. But if we can see, if we saw correctly, we'd see that incarnation of the evil one is us. Trying to keep in control of your life. And it's a desperate, desperate kind of place. Somehow you have to justify what you're doing and what you think and what you do and what you say. But there is no justification. This goes deep if you let it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Did your question get answered, Mr. Bojo?
You said
it. Oh, I didn't hear. All right. I have no idea what we'll talk about tomorrow, but we probably will be back to Luke one of these days. Take it, big guy. Mm-hmm.